Feel free to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If you are visiting, feel welcome and feel in the presence of Jesus Christ. Are you all happy? Yes, we should be happy. Are you all ready for the Chiefs Day? Yes, go Chiefs. I'm ready. See? I'm all ready. Yes, I'm all ready for this day. Hopefully they will win the AFC Championship. I would like to invite Rick Haley to come forward and give announcement about the Chai Conference.
As Pastor Ezekiel mentioned, my name is Rick Haley. I am the current chair of the property management team. I'm here this morning to invite you all to a very important church conference, which is next Sunday. It'll be at 11:30, right after this service. It will be here in the sanctuary. Our district superintendent will be here in attendance, also to facilitate the meeting. If everyone will take out their bulletins, and on the back, the weekly events and everything, circle that. 11:30 next Sunday, right here in the sanctuary. If anyone has any questions regarding, this conference is for the voting on the kitchen, the remodel of that facility over there. If anyone has questions, members of the property management team will be outside after the service to answer any questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick, for that announcement. So it is important that you will be here on that Sunday, the 26th at 11:30. And as he has said, if you have any question, you can ask the management team. Let me highlight a couple of announcements here. Today at 5 p.m., the membership class will continue. And office will be closed tomorrow for Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday. And then please sign the attendance book and pass it to the person seated next to you. And I give this opportunity to Bill to lead the worship.
Good morning. I'm Bill Stoker. You're actually getting the second team today. Wayne was supposed to be your liturgist, but Wayne hasn't been able to figure out how to get his little scooter up the three steps, so it's easier for me to make it up here. So please, if you will, stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord all the world. Proclaim every day good news that he has saved us. Proclaim his glory to the nations, his mighty deeds to all the peoples. Amen. And now as the children come, I was going to skip a hymn there. I'm not much of a singer. So let's join in 391, O Happy Day That Fixed My Choice, on the screens and in the hymnals.
Thank you.
And now, as the children come forward for the children's moment, take this opportunity to share signs of peace and friendship with your neighbors.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. There we go. All right, so we are continuing our sponge series today. Does anybody remember what words we've talked about so far? Yeah, spirituality. Participation. So today we are talking about outreach. What does outreach mean? You go out to reach something? Yeah? What is? Show me what outreach might look like. Yeah, you're reaching out. Well, here in the church, when we talk about outreach, we're talking about reaching out and helping others. So, like, every time our church participates in some sort of project to help others, that's us doing outreach. Like, I know you guys were there a couple of months ago when we packed meals for Rise Against Hunger. That was outreach. Or when we bring food for the food pantry, bring Christmas presents for Sunflower, all of those types of things are outreach. When we go and volunteer, serve food at St. Mary's Kitchen, or the youth go and serve at Ronald McDonald House, that's all outreach. So we have another science experiment today to see what happens when we reach out. So if you look in here, I have two cups of water. I have a cup of red water and a cup of yellow water. I tried to keep it on theme today for the Chiefs. So I want to know what you think is going to happen. If I put this paper towel here, because I have an empty cup in the middle, what's going to happen if I put this paper towel in the red cup and in the empty cup? Any guesses? The paper towel will turn red? Mm-hmm. So if I put this in here, make a little bridge, and then I'm going to put another one over here with the yellow cup. They're kind of getting wet. You can see the water seeping up a little bit on the paper towels. If I leave this here for a couple hours and let it keep going, what do you see in this one? So the color goes all the way up the paper towel into that empty cup, and the red and the yellow, they mix together and make
orange.
And you know, when we participate in outreach, that's kind of what happens. If I just left these cups here and I didn't put the paper in it, and I left this for a few hours, what would happen?
Nothing.
It would just sit there. We'd have a red cup and a yellow cup and an empty cup, and nothing would happen. But if we just stay in our own bubbles and we don't reach out to others in our lives, then nothing is ever going to change. But if we go out and we build bridges, like these little paper towel bridges, and we reach out to others, then we are spreading not just our colors, but we're spreading love, we're spreading kindness, we're spreading joy with others, then stuff changes. We change. And they change, and when we mix together, and just like the red and the yellow make orange, we mix with people and spread, and there's joy and love and happiness when we all mix together. So God wants us to spread our love, spread our kindness, and spread our happiness by reaching out to others. Do you guys think you can do that this week?
Yes.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to spread love, kindness, and happiness. Help us to go out into the world and grow in our outreach. Amen.
Sharing that children's message, that was wonderful. Now, I want to, before we go into time for celebration and concern, I want to correct myself here. I heard that the membership class will be done after the gifts came tonight. So it might go for a while. It may not end at 5. And now let's go into time of celebration and concerns. We need to remember specifically those who are not feeling well, those whom you have seen on the prayer chain, pray for them. The preschool has resumed, so pray for the children here and the teachers. And pray for peace around the world. And I give you a moment of silent prayer. Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this moment that we can come together and worship you. Thank you for enabling us to be here. Lord, we want to thank you also for your word, which says, where two or three gathered in my name, I'm among them. Lord Jesus, we believe you are among us today as we celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each one of us. Thank you for the gift of salvation, and thank you for the gift of life that we have. Lord, as we come before you, we ask that you will open our ears so that we may hear your voice today. We pray that you open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. And we pray that you open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance. We pray also that you open our hearts today that we may receive your wonderful love. Lord Jesus, may we know and sense your presence today. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit who is with us right now. Lord, as we begin this worship service, we invite you to be with us from the beginning till the end. And as we continue in this service, we want to lift up also those who are not feeling well, those who are going through the healing process. We pray that you bring restoration to them. And everybody who is having any kind of struggle today, we pray that they may have peace in their hearts, in their minds. Lord, we want to pray also for peace around the country. We pray for our country too, and we pray for the leadership of this country. We pray that the Holy Spirit may guide the leaders in the right direction. Thank you for the programs we are able to do here in the church. We pray that whatever we do will bring glory and honor to your name. I commit all the concerns that we have, even the unspoken prayer requests and the needs that we have and the praises, we commit them into your hands. We pray that you intercede for us. For I pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Please join me in the community prayer. Lord, we have come this morning to worship you. We not only want to sing a song of praise to you and offer our prayers of thanksgiving, but we would be still that we may hear your call to discipleship, that your Spirit grant us ears to hear and faith to respond, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of God. Amen. Thank you.
Today our scripture lesson comes from two readings. The first is 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6. We are beginning to commend ourselves again. Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are confident of ourselves to claim anything is coming from us. Our confidence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And the second one is Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm so excited to play Sponge, but I wanted to make a little note here, just in case people are a little confused by what we're talking about when we say Sponge. We're really playing a version of Dungeons and Dragons, and I imagine there are some of you out there that have played D&D before. I see some hands being raised, so and some fingers being pointed. So, just so you're not confused, but we're playing the Sponge version. So, welcome.
I'm excited to find out what the O stands for in Sponge.
Yeah, S is for spirituality, P is for participation, O is for octopus,
origami,
oceanography,
oatmeal.
You'll see. Now, our group of adventurers have just defeated a goblin, and as you continue along the path, you come to a small town. You see some small huts and shops scattered along the way, and in the distance you see a large castle that rises towards the sky.
Ooh, I wonder what's at the castle.
Ooh, maybe there's gold or rubies.
Let's go.
Well, as you continue through the town, towards the castle you encounter a woman with three young kids sitting by the side of the road.
Hello, how are you?
The woman says, "Hello, travelers. We are hungry and sick. Do you have anything to spare?"
"Oh, sorry, no. We're just traveling through town quickly. We need to get to that castle up there."
Hold on. I might be able to help. I have some bread in my bag. Here, you can have it."
"Okay, let's go now."
"Did you say you were sick? What's wrong?"
"Well, my youngest child here, I think she broke her leg. I don't know how to help."
"I have some medical skills. Let me take a look." I wrap the leg.
Okay, you saved them. Let's go now."
"Okay, good job, Stephanie. I'm proud of you for taking some time to think about others. That's really what outreach is all about. So I understand that I'm going to be missing both of you next week."
"Yeah."
"Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? Oh, you know, I just think I happened to find a couple people that were going to help out. So you're going to have to wait to see next week who the other players are going to be. Have a great Sunday, and go Chiefs!"
"Linda, we'll miss you next Sunday. Thank you for your commitment. Let's give them a round of applause. And thank you, team, for putting it together. Well, for those of you who have not been here for the last two Sundays, you might be wondering, what is this all about? This is about a strategic initiative for 2020. We call it Sponge, and you might have seen some people carrying Sponge around. And what is Sponge? What do we mean by Sponge? Let's all say it together. Spirituality, participation, outreach, numbers, and giving enthusiasm. And you can see some of those words here in front. So on the first Sunday of this month, we talked about spirituality. And last Sunday, we talked about participation. And today, are you all ready for outreach? Yes. Are you?
Yes.
Okay, say amen. Are you?
Amen.
Amen. I'm ready too. So what is outreach in terms of ministry? Outreach is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet through personal witnessing and different ways, and includes providing spiritual, educational, and social events and activities that can improve the lives of people. It has been proven that providing holistic ministry promotes godly relationship to unchurch people. It does, and it might help them to come to Jesus Christ. Example of the outreach ministries we have been doing, some of them have been mentioned by Mary. It includes Hillcrest, Transitional Housing, Dina on Us, Better Together Mission Ministries by Reverend Jennifer Bryan. So there are many. The list can go on. Even what we did during the financial campaign, helping the hungry, packing food. So includes all of that. I would like to show you what Geneva does. On October 27, I went down to Metropolitan Church, United Methodist Church, and I got to visit the clinic. I got to see the worship of the Congolese. It was a worship service. Got to visit with them. And on the days, for clinic days, that is the band, they put it out, you know, to remind people to come for the health clinic or health fair day. So that is what is happening there. And that is an outreach, you know, doing things, trying to better lives, to better lives for people. Or to give them a better life, so to speak. And then there is a video also I wanted you to watch.
Everyone has the right to know their health status and access the care they need. That's why Better Together was founded in 2010. Much of our work focuses on refugee families who often fall in the gaps of our current U.S. healthcare system, people who are uninsured but don't qualify for Medicaid. We are located at the heart of the historic and diverse Argentine neighborhood of Kansas City, Kansas, a place where hundreds of refugees have relocated to build their new lives. Together is the hub that unites the work of several local health agencies. Through this collaboration, we can bring life-changing health services to the communities that need them the most. We provide free medical screenings, health education, and services so families can break down the barriers between themselves and the health care they deserve. Our volunteers and donors make our mission possible. You can help too. Contact us today to help bring us closer to a world where everyone has access to health care.
So what you saw there is part of what outreach is all about, doing things to better the lives of people, and in a way, people might sense the love of God out of that. In the bulletin inside also, there is more information on that. And what I found out when I went there is they also need help, small help, you know, like people, you know, to welcome people like ushers, people to do recordings, to sign people in as they come. So it is not like a big job to do. Somebody can do for 1 hour. You can do even once a month. You can volunteer once a month to do that. And it is not far. It's only 15 miles from here. So if you are called to do that, you can talk to Geneva or talk to me about it. Now, how should we approach this subject of outreach? You know, after looking at, you know, what is going on there, you know, those people have energy. They can really sing. And I'm like, instead of seeing this as a need, we should see it as an asset. And we should partner with them. And as I was preparing for this, I thought, I should invite, you know, them to come and sing here. They can really sing until they sweat. So they might bring us some energy. We can partner with them. You know, we can help each other in some ways. And that is how we should approach this subject of outreach. We should approach it in terms of seeing the asset, the gifts they have. The gifts they have in, you know, the knowledge they have, the gifts of heart, you know, spirituality, the gifts of hands, what, you know, how can we partner together in doing things with our hands? And that is what I saw. So I have to say this, for every task we face, there are many approaches. We can approach this outreach ministry in different ways. They say, there are many ways to skin a cat, right? And that is true. And skinning a cat here is not, you know, not in literal way. It is an idiomatic expression saying that we can achieve things we want through unusual ways. Now, I had to ask myself this question, and I think some of you might be asking themselves the question. What is the difference between evangelism and outreach? What is the difference? And for outreach, I think Mary gave a clear definition of outreach. Now, let me give you the definition of evangelism. It is mostly about talking, sharing. So here is a preacher who went out to the farm to visit a family. And he met this farmer, the father of the home. And he asked him, "Do you belong to the Christian family?" And the farmer says, "No, they live two farms down the road." Then the pastor says, "No, I mean, are you lost?" And the farmer says, "No, I have been here for 30 years." Then the pastor continues, "I mean, are you ready for judgment day?" And the farmer said, "When is it?" And the pastor replied, "It could be today or tomorrow." Finally, the farmer says, "Well, when you find out for sure when it is, let me know. My wife will probably want to go both days." So that is what you can encounter when you go on evangelism, you know, sharing the word. There could be some, you know, frustration. But in holistic, in outreach ministry, it is doing action. And you might even, you know, those people you are trying to serve, they can do it themselves. They said it is an abuse to help somebody who is able to help himself. For a long time, I didn't know. In another place, they used to have Bread of Life ministry. where they were giving food, you know, food which are expired but still good from Walmart and Dillon's and, you know, places like Price Chopper. So me, I was telling people, line up, and then I give them food. And then the lay leader was telling me, Pastor, can you don't do that. You know, they are not disabled. They can do it for themselves. And I thought the lay leader was being mean. But I realized that when I study about outreach, you know, let the people do if they can do it for themselves. If they can, you know, if it is dinner on us and they can serve, involve them. And they'll be part, they feel part of the community. So that is what I have been learning about outreach over the years. It is looking at it as an asset, but not as a need. So why do we do outreach? And why do, you know, why do many churches do outreach? And it should be in the next slide. Yeah, it's the following are the reason. And one is to share the good news about the cross of Jesus Christ and good news about opening blind spiritual eyes. So people can see that they need Jesus Christ. Yes, it is about helping people turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. It is all about improving people's lives. It is about sharing the good news that Jesus came to set people free. And that is what the followers of Jesus Christ should be doing, setting people free. Let me give you an example from the book of Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And the second commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor? And that this, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, it might tell us. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. So I had to ask myself, who are these people who are making an effort to open a hole on the roof and to lower this sick man to Jesus? Who are these four men? Can you tell me? There could have been maybe his friends, maybe neighbors, some caring people. And I don't think it is family members, because in the next verse where it talks about Andrew. Yeah, Andrew is mentioned in the New Testament a few times. And here in John chapter 6 by verse 8 to 9, it shows us Andrew introducing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, Andrew is introducing a young boy to Jesus, that boy who had five loaves of bread and two fish. And then in John chapter 1, verse 41 to 42, it is showing us Andrew introducing his brother Peter to the Lord. And then in John chapter 12, verse 20 to 22, he introduced the Greeks to the Lord. So it is not enough to introduce our brothers and sisters to the Lord. It is not enough to introduce our family members to the Lord. We ought to also introduce others. We have to take others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew did. These four guys, they took the sick man to Jesus. So that is what neighbors do. That is what believers do. We help our neighbors. We always say it takes the whole village to raise a child, right? Even somebody who is a child in faith, it takes the whole believers to help that person. It takes the whole, it takes believers, the whole body of believers to reach out to somebody who is unchurched and to somebody who has not known the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And this leads us to the second one. Why do we do outreach? To fulfill the Great Commission. The second reason many churches take an outreach approach to ministry is to win the lost in sin by presenting biblical truths in terms people can understand and in ways that are culturally relevant. So I have to say that conducting outreach ministry in a way that is sensitive to the needs of the spiritual seeker is to present biblical truth through various means of communication that is interesting, stimulating, credible, and compelling. We have permission from God to come up with ways that can be convincing to those whom we are reaching out to. The emphasis of the Great Commission is to go and make disciples. That means leaving the 99 and going after the one sheep which is lost. That is the fundamental purpose of the church. That is what outreach is all about. We are to reach out to the world for Jesus Christ by becoming fishers of men, hunting for men. Yes, we are not supposed to be the keepers of the aquarium only. We are supposed to reach out. And for those who know about fishing, you cannot clean a fish until you catch. You have to go fishing. You have to go looking for the fish. So the Holy Spirit first speaks to the fish to eat, to take the lure or the bait. In order to attract the fish, you need a lure that will grab their attention. However, even with a great lure, you may not catch a fish. All the people who are fish, they all know that. It can depend on the weather. It depends on whether they are full. It depends on, it depends on many things. So we need a bait the fish likes and is attracted to. We need a bait that can attract the fish. And for us as a church, the bait is what the church has to offer. It is the programs that we have to offer. It is the style of music that we have to offer. It is the small groups that we have to offer. It is dinner on us. healthier that we can have, or doing the blood drive, and the list can go on and on. Yet even after catching the fish, there is still the problem of keeping the fish in the pot or in the net. If the church does not offer specific connection and integration strategies to assimilate the unchurched people, they will find a way of getting out. They can get out of the net and go back to where they came from. So how can we fulfill the Great Commission? How can we keep the fish in the net or in the boat? Yeah, we can, you all remember the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, where it says, "So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." The Bible is very clear in that God created us in his image. He created you and me in his image. And since God created us in his image, we can recreate. We have permission to recreate. We can be creative because God has created us in his image. We have permission to be creative. We are able to build. We are able to form small groups. We are able to set people free. We are able to show the way, the truth, and the life to the lost. What does the book of Mark chapter 11 says? It says that if you have faith, you can move mountains. If you have faith, you can do what Jesus can do. That is what Jesus said. So we can come up with things we can lure and charge. We can create things. We can be creative. We can create things that can make the unchurched people go to church. So before I close, I have to say that too often we forget others are watching us closely as we reach out to them. They watch our actions, our words. They see. Remember in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1 to 6 that we read. It says, "You yourself are our letters, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." You see, the heart is the center of love and devotion, and it was in the heart that these Corinthian believers were written. Paul continued to say they were known and read by everyone. They were like a book or a letter that can be read by everyone. So professing Christians are the letters, the only Bible that all your acquaintance can read and know. And I can guarantee you that the only Bible most your acquaintance can read is you. Most untried people don't read the Bible. You can be the only Bible they can read. So if we are trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ, then the handwriting of our lives should reveal the love of Jesus Christ, and also show its responsiveness to their needs. It is said that churches that have strong outreach programs often grow. Outreach creates a climate in the church that makes growth possible. Yes, it can make it possible because it will make us connect with the unchurched. So If we are to be passionate in our church, we must be involved in life-changing ministries. We should be involved in holistic ministries such as, you know, Dina on Us, Better Outreach, Better Together Outreach Ministries, Hillcrest Housing, and others that you can come up with. So, I want you to think about that. Pray about it and think of a particular outreach you can identify yourself with. If you want to come up with one, you are welcome. And if you have any question, let me know. If you have any question about Better Life Together, you can talk to Reverend Geneva. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I invite the ushers to come forward for tithes and offerings. Rise up. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for every blessing that you give us every day. And this morning, we are brought a portion of it before the altar. We pray that you may bless this and multiply for the extension of your kingdom. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now receive the benediction. Receive. Go forth into the world, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may go in peace, and may the peace of Jesus Christ go with each one of you. Amen.